Some people might say coffee doesn't need chocolate, but you're not some people. You're a dreamer. You see the possibilities of chocolate and caramel flavors swirling together with cold brew, topped with velvety chocolate cold foam and cocoa caramel crumbles. That imagination can only be rewarded with Dunkin's new caramel chocolate cold brew. It's a cold brew dream come true. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer. Terms apply.
You're listening to the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast, the show that proves no one stumbles upon success ever. With your host, Lou Need. Every Mondays and Thursdays, we deliver cold hard evidence behind the power of a robust morning routine. Get ready to be transformed by the renewal of your mind.
Hello, morning enthusiasts. Welcome to the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast. My name is Lou Need, and today I have the pleasure of introducing a remarkable guest onto the show today. Today, Mark Strachewski is going to join us, and he has been coaching businesses, executives and managers on how to maximize their time for optimum performance for 14 years. He is the author of How to Really Be More Productive. He is known as Mr. Productive. Father of two, loving husband out in Texas. He's an avid runner. And today he is going to enlighten us on the power of his robust morning routine and teach us how to be more productive in all areas of our lives. Ski, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Lanid. Absolute pleasure to be on the show with you today.
Yes, glad to have you on board. So today we will discuss the productivity myths as well as the effect of multitasking on the impact of quality life.
That sounds good to me.
All right. So I know you have a course. You have several courses, actually. You've been a coach for several years. And one of your courses is talks about social media, how it is designed to keep us initially to keep us engaged, to keep us busy, but there might be a downfall to it. Tell us your take on social media, and I know you have strategies on how to control social media as well. Share that with us.
Well, it's not a course. It's a video that I've created that you can get for free at my website, where I give you five strategies for controlling social media. Because as you said, social media is designed to keep you on there until you die. And if we are not the ones in control of social media, if we just keep scrolling and scrolling and scrolling, we are losing hundreds, if not thousands, of hours a year looking at other people's vacation pictures or what have you. And so we have got to learn how to control social media. And I do have some strategies for how you can control social media.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would love to hear it, because I know not only is social media just controlling our lives and taking over our time, because it works. It works in keeping us social. And honestly, it works way too well. Mm-hmm. I know we just went over Cambridge Analytics, right, with the data breach and all that that's been going on with using our data. We are the data. And if we become aware of that, we should want to grab a hold of social media, Facebook in particular, right?
Yes. And I want people to understand, if you are on social media, you pretty much don't have privacy in the world. And if you look what people are posting, you cannot tell me that when you're posting what you're posting, you expect it to be private. You have to assume that anything that you put on social media or your website or in an email or in a text, the whole world's going to see. So don't think that you have privacy, because I think in the 24/7, 365 world we live in, privacy is no longer existing.
Yeah, it doesn't go away ever. It's just like in a cloud. It's just sitting there, and it's easily retrievable by anyone and anything.
Yes, if you know how to hack into someone's account, you can see all their goodies. So just be careful what you're posting, because even if you delete it right away, as some politicians have found out, all someone's got to do is screen grab it, and they've got it forever.
Right. So what are your strategies to control social media?
Well, the first thing is you need to give yourself a limit. And what I suggest you do is, every phone that I have ever seen on the market has this thing called a timer on it. And so let's say you want to take a break from doing whatever you're doing. You want to take a break and say, okay, I'm going to go just scroll through Instagram. Well, then you set the timer, maybe 30 minutes, 45 minutes. I wouldn't go longer than an hour, because then you have other problems. And then set the timer And make sure when you set the timer, you get the most annoying alarm, not something like sweet butterflies flying away. You want to get something like a drill sergeant, really annoying. And then set the timer and then just scroll and like and comment and whatever. But when the alarm goes off, when that timer goes off, stop. I don't care what you're doing. Stop. Get out of the social media app. Go back to whatever you work on. Another thing you can do is I'm a big scheduler. So I schedule things usually in 30-minute increments. And so let's say you want a two o'clock break for 30 minutes. Well, then you've got something scheduled, for example, from 1:30 to 2 and 2:30 to 3. So you can go and fool around on social media from 2 to 2:30 because at 2:30, your alarm is going to go off on your phone saying, hey, next task. And so you got to have something there that's going to say, hey, hello, it's time to stop now. Because if you don't do that, the 30 minutes is going to go into 3 hours and the 4 hours, and you're going to sit there going, what just happened to my time? So you have got to be in control of social media, because if you're not, social media is not going to help.
Yeah, I don't know about other people, but I feel brain dead after a half hour on social media. And I didn't have it for years, but because I am studying a podcast, I'm studying business, and I'm now back on it. But I just like you, I do time myself. I use this browser timer called Egg Timer. That it's free. And I put in for 15, 20 minutes. And once it does go off, I shut it all down.
Yeah. And I think we need to spend time on social media or watching silly TV shows. Because if you're just work, it reminds me of a movie that was back in 1980. It was Jack Nicholson was the movie called The Shining. And one line in the movie, he's a killer in the movie. And he has this one line that says, all work and no play makes Jack a dull boy. Apparently it makes you a psychopathic killer as well. So we need to have an outlet. We need to have time where we go and fool around on social media or watch silly program shows. Like my wife and I, we love watching Judge Judy. It's my guilty pleasure. But it's not my priority. And I do limit to what I'm watching or what I'm consuming on social media. So I'm not saying don't be on social media and don't watch TV and don't play video games. I'm just saying it's okay to do it as long as you are in control of the time you're spending on it.
Right. And I get that clearly. That's very good advice.
Well, you don't have to be on every platform, okay? You know, there's Facebook, there's Instagram, there's Snapchat, there's Twitter, there's LinkedIn, there's YouTube. Do you really need to be on every platform? Now, I say that. And if you're building a business or brand like you and I are, you need to go and get your username from every new platform that comes out. Doesn't matter if it's going to be the next Facebook or the next Instagram. It doesn't matter. But what you need to do is go get your name, because you want to have the same name on all the social media platforms. But like, I don't do hardly anything on Facebook. I'm only on Facebook because there's a couple really, really awesome groups I'm a member of. That's the only reason why I'm on Facebook. So when people send me Facebook friend requests, I ignore them. I don't want friends on Facebook. I'm only there for the groups. My biggest platform is LinkedIn. So I spend most of my time on LinkedIn, followed by Instagram. That's it. You know, do you need to be everywhere? Some would say you do, but every time you're adding another network, whether you're consuming or whether you're building your brand, that's more time it's taken away from doing other things. And what I want the listener to understand is what you're doing, is it moving the needle towards your goals? You have to stop and go, okay, I'm doing X. Is it moving the needle? If not, then don't do it anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you're not telling them to be on it or not be on it. But what is your goal? What is your objective? What are you trying to attain? And is it in alignment with what you're trying to achieve?
100%.
So let's talk about productivity and how can we learn to be productive? And you're the expert in productivity, so I'm going to let you run with it.
Well, the first thing we need to do is we need to figure out where we are right now. Okay, because if you want to go someplace, if you want to go from point A to point B, you've got to know where you are now. And so I encourage your listeners to, on a piece of paper, give themselves a rating on my productivity scale, which is greater than 0, less than 10. 10 means that you're the most productive person in the world, 24/7, 365. You never fail. Nobody's a 10. 0 means you're the world's best procrastinator. No one's a 0. You're between a 0 and a 10, and it will ebb and flow. You'll have good days and bad days. I have good days and bad days and good hours and bad hours. And so what I want the listener to do is write down where you are right now. And if you're a nerd like me, you can do 4.2675. If that's what you want, that's fine. Just so you know where you are right now. And then where do you want to go? Yes, you want to be a 9.5. Remember, we can't be a 10. You want to be a 9.5. But if you're only a 4, well, let's get to a 5 first and then get you a 6. So figure out where you want to go, because once you know where you are and where you want to go, now you have a path. Okay, what do I need to do to go from a 4 to 5 or from a 4 to 6? That's number one. Number two, stop trusting your brain. Okay, what I mean by this is the brain is the most powerful computer ever created, but it's not infallible. It's not perfect. We have mental illness and other things like that that affect the brain. So when something comes in your mind that you need to do, I need to call Lunid. Well, I better write that down or put it in an app or put in a reminder or something, because if I don't, we all know Murphy's Law, whatever can't go wrong will. My productivity version is whatever you need to remember most, the first thing you're going to forget. So I want you to always write these things down immediately. Okay, so here's the thing. Most times you can just pick up your phone or pick up your notebook and you can write it down. But let's say you're driving in the car. Okay, what do you do? Well, I can't say her name, but I have an iPhone. So if I call out the lady's name and I can say, hey, make a note, she'll make a note. But if you don't have this capability, it's okay. Guess what you can do? In every country in the world, you can actually pull over to the side of the road and then make your note. Or if someone's in the car with you, you can say, hey, could you make me a note of this or put it in your phone so you don't forget? But let's say you're in a situation where you can't do any of it. You can't reach your phone. You can't write anything down. So what do? Well, there's a couple things you can do. Number one, you can make a poem about what you have to do, or
association,
or write a song. So let's say, Lunid, I need to call Lunid. Well, I'm sitting there going, I came driving. It's raining out. There's no one in the car. What am I supposed to do? It's not safe to pull over. Lunid, 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 Lunid. And I go, oh, I like Jingle Bell. Lunid, Lunid. Got to call Lunid. And all of a sudden now I'm singing the song. And what happens is now you're saying it, you're going to more likely remember it. What I'm saying, the point is you just can't go, oh, I'm not going to forget. No, I'm not going to. Yes, you are going to forget. Everybody forgets things. So you need to capture that thought. So that's probably my biggest tip, is never trust your brain. When something enters your brain, write it down, capture it in an app, something. Do not just say, I'll remember it later, because I don't care if you're 12 or 112, you are probably going to forget that. You're going to go home and go, I had to call someone, Lucy? No, Lelena, you're going to forget because you didn't write it down.
Yeah, and I absolutely agree with you, because a to-do list helps you check things off, and that sense of accomplishment produce more productivity. So if you're checking things off as you are accomplishing them, and with the fact that you are writing it down, you're involving other senses too.
Yes, and I just want to talk just for a minute about what goes on a reminders list and what goes on a calendar. You want to talk about that? Okay, so what goes on a to-do list are things that don't take a lot of time, okay? So if I have to reach out to Lunid and ask her, okay, when can we do a podcast? Well, that goes on my to-do list. But once we schedule the podcast, that goes on my calendar. Now, everybody goes, well, duh, Mark, I know that. Who doesn't know that? But here's another idea. Let's say you get an email and you really want to read the article or the newsletter someone sent you, and you look at it and like, oh my gosh, this is so long. It's going to take me 20 minutes to read this. Aha. Now you put that on the calendar. So you actually put a create a calendar entry and you say, read article and email. And my email program on my iPhone will allow me to actually tag the email. So when the appointment comes up, I click on it and opens the email. But if it's going to take you some time, schedule it on your calendar. Don't try to fit it in, especially if it's an article or a newsletter that's going to bring you a lot of value. You don't want to read like two paragraphs and three paragraphs and one paragraph, because you're going to miss the flow of it. Give yourself the gift of actually scheduling time. And that goes for watching TEDx videos, YouTube videos. I don't care what it is. Don't try to fit it in. Too many people are trying to fit it in. I got 5 minutes here and 3 minutes here. No, just figure, okay, it's going to take me 18 minutes to watch this video or 20 minutes to read this article. Put it on your calendar. That way, when the time comes up, it's like, oh, I got to read Lunit's article. Oh, I got time in my schedule. Now you're not rushing it. Now you can read it and absorb what you're reading.
Yeah, being present with it because you're not worrying about the time restraint that's already set.
Yeah, so many people are reading articles and emails at the checkout line or at the red light. And because they can't read the whole article, they are missing it. Because, oh, I got to start driving. Oh, time to run, do my cashiering stuff now. And then they miss it. So I'm just saying, listen, just give yourself the gift of reading the whole article. Too many people, like I said, are trying to fit these things in 2-minute increments or 3-minute increments. It never works.
That's a great segue because multitasking. For every hour, there's 3 things that you could be doing, 3 other things that you could be doing, right? So what is it about how multitasking is clearly impacting the quality of life because you're not present, you're not here now, you're not consuming the content fully, you're not taking the proper note. So how do you combat multitasking?
Well, science has proven, neuroscience has proven, there is no such thing as multitasking. It's been proven by people way smarter than I am. What happens is when you're working on one task, Lunit, your brain is focused on that task 100%. Now, when you add in something else into the mix, now your brain may be operating at 65, 70% on both tasks. Now you add a third. Now the efficiency goes down to like 50%. Every time you're adding something on into the mix, the efficiency for everything is going down. They've proven this in science. So the best thing you can do is work on task A. Okay, I'm tired of it. I need a break. You shut it off, switch to task B. That way you're 100% on task A, 100% on task B. What people are doing is they're on a phone call or whatever, they're checking their email, they're scrolling through Facebook, and they're not fully present, and so they're going to miss something. And so do one task at a time. Like I said, this is not my opinion. This is what science has proven. Do one thing, your brain will reward you by doing that very, very well, and then switch to the next task. Too many people are trying to do too many things at once, and you think your brain's multitasking. What it's doing is rapidly switching before back and forth between the tasks, and as a result of that, the efficiency is lowering because what happens is you're on a task A, now you're going to go to task B. Well, your brain is like, wait a minute, I thought we're doing A, now we're doing B. Oh, now we're doing C. Wait a minute, I thought we're doing A. Now your brain's like, it's trying to figure out what's going on, and you're on task D now, and it's like, it's still like got a little tentacles over an A and B and C, and now you're going back to A, and the brain's going, and that's why people get frustrated. They get overwhelmed because their brain is confused.
It's exhausting. Yeah,
just do task A. If you want to take a break, say, okay, I'm going to take a break. Transition, I recommend you do 1 or 2 minutes of meditation. Then go to task B. Give your brain a chance to disconnect from task A to go to task B. But so many people, they're just like, well, if I do 5, 6 things at once, it's going to be good. You think it's going to be good. It's really not going to be effective.
Yeah, it's information overload, and you really can't truly learn or truly experience anything in life that way.
Correct.
Long-term at all.
And it's, like I said, it's backed by science, so it's not my opinion.
Yeah, it takes longer when you try to switch from one task to the next. It takes longer. The transition period takes longer because you got to refocus. The brain got to recognize what the new task is.
Yes.
And you're losing time in the process. So yeah, it's not effective at all. Mark, I know you love running and I know you love reading, and I want to know what you're currently reading right now and fit it into, I'm hoping these are part of your morning routine, the running and reading.
Well, what I'm reading right now, I actually finished one book. I literally finished a book today. I love Brendan Burchard's High Performance Habits. I've read the book twice. My book is totally marked up. I'm one of these people who read print books. And I'm going to read a book by Cal Newport called Deep Work. I've already listened to the audiobook twice on Audible. So I'm going to read the book now. Very phenomenal books. High Performance Habits and Cal Newport's Deep Work are 2 of my top 5 books that I've ever read in my entire life. So my morning routine is when I first wake up in the morning, the very first thing I do is make my bed. I learned this from Tony Robbins many, 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 many years ago. When you get up and you make your bed, you've already accomplished something for the day. So you're already off on a good start. So you're like, hey, you know, what's making my bed have to do with it? It makes a big deal for your mindset. So I wake up, I make my bed, then I do 6 to 7 push-ups. I'm 54. I'm trying to build my upper body strength. Then I read my Bible. I read the Bible every day, every year. Then I read a devotion. Then I write in my, again, my Brendan Burchard High Performance Habits Planner, what I'm going to do for the day, and it's got some morning prompts and stuff like that. And only then, after I take care of all that stuff, which is probably about 45 minutes to an hour, then I check in with social media and email. I believe that you should guard very, very strongly the first hour of your day, because as you know, Lanid, when you check email, when you check social media, when you check the news, now you're entering someone else's problem world. And I think you need to guard that first hour of your day. This is something I learned from Brendan Burchard. I'm a big fan of his, because when you wake up in the morning, you have the most control before you enter the rest of the world and all their problems and whatnot.
Absolutely. The psychologists and doctors have proven that what you do in the first 8 minutes set the tone for the rest of the day. And so it's crucial that you do the meditation, you do the reading, the stimulating, the positive stimulation, consuming the Bible in your case. And I read a verse a day myself. And I wake up and make my bed first thing in the morning. And then I follow up with a glass of room temperature water with Himalayan salt for electrolytes and replenish, because we're at a fasted state during sleep. But I quote for make your bed. My quote is, a made up bed is a made up mind.
Like that.
Yeah, I quote that. I made that. And just as you said, you accomplish your first task, it will breed more productivity throughout the day.
Yep, because you've already accomplished something. First thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, your morning routine is very robust. I really love it. Thank you for sharing. It's very similar to mine. I love that you don't incorporate a workout, but you do know the importance of getting some push-ups and 6 to 7 to get the blood flow going. It's important, even if you are just stretching.
Yes.
Because the body was just stagnant and laying there. So it needs to move and move fast, because you can already start with the happy hormones, serotonin flowing in your head.
Yes. And here in Houston, I go running early in the morning because it gets hot. In the wintertime, I'll run in the afternoon, but when it's like 85 degrees at 7 o'clock in the morning, I tend to go running because I know I don't want to run when it's 100 degrees outside. So I do go early in the morning, but I do not run. I do not count that part of my morning routine. I fit my running in sometime during the day, because sometimes I can't run first thing in the morning. If it's pouring rain, I don't like running in the rain. I don't like running. That's not good. Plus, because I wear glasses, I don't have windshield wipers on my glasses, so I don't run in the rain.
How can they connect with you and find a book and your business?
Well, my website is markstucheski.com, and because very few people can spell that, I went out and got the domain MrProductivity.com. That's Mr. all spelled out. So you go to MrProductivity.com. It redirects you to MarkStucheski.com, where you can find out about the ebook. You can find out about my course, The Basics of Productivity. I'm a productivity coach. I'm going to be creating very soon a monthly live training program. Also, you can find out about my podcast. Anything you want to find out about me, including where I am on social media, you just have to go to MrProductivity.com. Everything's there for you.
All right, morning enthusiasts. You heard it first from Mr. Productivity. His morning routine is robust. He is reading his Bible. He is making up his bed first thing in the morning. Very crucial. And he writes on a habit planner. So he plans out his day. And that's important, because if you know, if you have a target, you will hit it. Zig Ziglar says, how can you make a target you don't have? And so it's crucial to plan ahead. And I love your tips, Mark, on how to give yourself a limit on social media. Put a timer, because it will help you be more productive throughout your day, so you can get off social media and don't waste unnecessary time. Also, schedule a time block that you want to be on there. And for productivity, you talked about knowing where you are now, so you can actually take actionable steps to improve that. And multitasking is a myth. Science have proven it. And Mark, you reaffirmed it. Thank you for being honest. And thank you for coming on the show.
Absolute sincere pleasure. Thank you so much for having me. It's an honor to serve you and your audience.
Thank you. Have a good one.
Thank you.
All right, morning enthusiasts. That's it for today's show. Thank you for tuning in. If you love the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast, we'd love to hear from you. So go ahead and subscribe, rate, and give a review on iTunes or Google Play. While you're at it, tell a friend about the show. Be sure to visit bestmorningroutineever.com and our Facebook group to join the conversation, access the show notes, and discover our fantastic free bonus content. Until next time.
Some people might say coffee doesn't need chocolate, but you're not some people. You're a dreamer. You see the possibilities of chocolate and caramel flavors swirling together with cold brew, topped with velvety chocolate cold foam and cocoa caramel crumbles. That imagination can only be rewarded with Dunkin's new caramel chocolate cold brew. It's a cold brew dream come true. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer. Terms apply.